You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
When we were young, Christmas Eve was a great time. It is still a great time.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, giver of every good gift, help us to believe you and receive the good gift of your Son Jesus, as you sent him and meant him to be received, the Savior of the world. Give us the faith to receive your gift as freely as it is given, and to be relieved of the burden of unbelief and guilt, all through the great work of your Son Jesus, and by the power of your Holy Spirit. Make this Christmas a time of joy in Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. When we were young, Christmas Eve was a great time. It is still a great time, but probably never greater than when we were young. There was a mystery about Christmas Eve. It was thick with promise. You never saw the Christmas tree. Not in our home you didn't, because it was shut up in a room until we returned from the church service on Christmas Eve. Everything was a big surprise, including the lights on the Christmas tree, which in those days were candles. Then came other surprises, gifts for which we were not prepared. It was all to celebrate the birthday of a little baby boy back there in Bethlehem many long years ago. None of us can repeat those Christmas Eves, but we can remember them. Young or old, we still feel the mystery of it all. The whole magnificent story that has given us Christmas was probably summed up best of all by the angel on the first Christmas Eve. I bring you a gospel of great joy, which shall be to every people, because there has been born to you today in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this is a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. What a great time the great God had that night, sending his angels to herald the birth of this baby for shepherds who did not know what to think. What an extravagant gift, his own son, the apple of his eye, born a baby and laid by his mother in a manger. Through that son, we get to know God. Everything about God comes as a big surprise. That there could be joy in a world of sorrow is a big surprise. That there is forgiveness from on high for people who are more accustomed to take revenge, to exact an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, is a big surprise. There's every good reason that all the eves of Christmas you can remember should be surrounded by an air of mystery, full of the presence and the promise of God himself, full of the grace and glory of God himself. It need not come as such a big surprise, but it always does. Luke probably got his history of this event directly from the mother of the Lord, that girl named Mary, young and innocent, and also intelligent and determined. The first two chapters of Luke's gospel sound as if they come from the lips of a Hebrew woman telling what she herself had experienced. what Mary experienced was the eve of Christmas. Up in Nazareth, about 80 miles north of Bethlehem, a mighty angel had given her some strange news. You will bear a son. He will become a king, and his kingdom will be eternal. She answered, How can I have a baby? I am a virgin. The angel explained, The Holy Spirit will come upon you. He will give you the power to bear a son. For with God, nothing will be impossible. It had been a long and somewhat difficult time. People did not believe this story. Virgin births, you know, are not exactly common. Even with all the experiments in human genetics, there has never been a virgin birth like this one. Nonetheless, Mary believed, and Mary received. On Christmas Eve, she was relieved of the burden she had been carrying. She assumed the burden of being a mother. In fact, and in truth, the mother of God. Then you think of Joseph. Mary, his fiancée, told him she was pregnant. As a man of high principle, Joseph decided that he would break their engagement, but he would not disgrace her publicly. Another angel, a messenger from heaven, appeared to Joseph and told him, Don't hesitate to take Mary as your wife. The child within her is not another man's child. The child she carries is hers by the power of the Holy Spirit. You shall call his name Jesus, which means Savior. For he will save his people from their sins. The remarkable thing is that Joseph accepted the mystery of it all. He believed. Like Mary, Joseph knew that people would not understand. There would be a lot of talk and a good deal of gossip. On Christmas Eve, all that gossip was forgotten. Mary and Joseph received the gift of all gifts, received it in the name of all of us, the gift of the Son of God, the Savior of the world. There were shepherds out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. They were about 3 miles away from the inn in Bethlehem and the stable for the beasts of burden which were brought by travelers. Suddenly one angel, and then a large number of angels, appeared to them. Nobody was surprised about all of this more than the shepherds. They were not usually surprised by anything. They were out there on the perimeter to defend, and they were not afraid. But this was something else again, the bright lights of heaven suddenly breaking forth in song as angels came drifting through the skies and saying, Don't be afraid. I bring you a gospel of great joy which shall be to every people, because there's been born to you today in the city of David, only 3 miles away, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The shepherds must have looked dumbfounded to those angels. The angel noticed this. He also noticed that the shepherds were afraid. The mysteries of life which cannot be fathomed make people afraid. The angel said, This is a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Mary probably regarded this as the most wonderful thing that happened that evening after the birth of her son. The shepherds believed, and they came. They left their flocks, and they came. On behalf of all of us, these humble men, whose very names are shrouded in mystery, accepted what they saw. They accepted the baby for what he was, the Son of God and the Savior of the world. After the shepherds had seen the baby, they told everybody they met, We saw angels this night. They sang to us. They said the long-awaited Messiah has been born. He's lying in a manger in a stable in Bethlehem right now. These were rough men, but they were honest. Nonetheless, the mystery was just too much for the people of that town. Angels, they said? You say that you heard angels sing? You saw angels? Those angels told you that the Messiah, the promised one of Israel, has been born in little old Bethlehem, and he's lying in a manger right now? I have no doubt that some believed, but most did not. It's the way of the world not to believe. Many people observe Christmas today, but do not believe. It's a time for children, of course, who will believe everything people think. Christmas Eve is certainly a time for children. It's just as much a time for their parents and their grandparents. It's a time for everyone. The gospel, the good news, is for everyone. It's a gospel of great joy, and it is for every people, everywhere. There's a gift for everyone on Christmas Eve. Even if you celebrate Christmas Eve all alone, There's a gift for you. The gift of God is for you. It is the gift of God's love, and it is for you. It is the gift of the Son of His love, and He is for you. It's a simple story, I know. Too simple for many. But just as true as it was on that first Christmas Eve. St. Paul put the whole mystery into words. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that we through His poverty might be made rich. Things like this don't happen except for God. You may think that God is not exactly real or is too far away to have a care for you. That baby in the manger at Bethlehem is for real. He was and He is the Son of the living God. The story of His life and death are altogether true from beginning to end. The very simplicity of it tells us that it is true. The force of it hits us with overpowering conviction. In His own Son, God Himself faces you and every problem you have. The fundamental problem is not a matter of health. It's not a matter of money. It's that heart, that soul of yours, without which you yourself are not truly human. It's that failure of your heart and soul to keep pace with God which has put you where you are. It's trying to be human without God, an exercise that is always unsuccessful without God. God sent His Son, body and soul, to be the Savior of the world. He was human as we are human. It's good news of great joy to every people. He has become a part of our history with everything human that we have in our history. The Son of God died, He did, as human beings die. It is not a pretty picture. He did not die as a martyr. His death was not just a murder. It was a sacrifice. By His own free will, He offered Himself for the life of the world. At the end, He cried, "It is finished." He rose again from the dead by the power and the glory of the Father who had sent Him. In Him there was and there is eternal life. Eternal life is the very opposite of death. It is life, as He Himself once said, that is life indeed. It is life to be forgiven what you have failed to do. It means accepting God for what He is, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is believing God for what He is, full of compassion, all of which you can see in the face of Jesus Christ. It is receiving the grace of God for what it is, with the gift of forgiveness and life, which is life indeed. It is being relieved of your burden and letting Him carry it for you in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. Believe and receive, said the angel to the shepherds. Believe and receive, my friend, the gift God has given to you. Believe and receive the gift of His Son with all of His wonderful humanity, all for you, such as you are with your own humanity, which He took into His own heart. Receive the gift of God, my friend, and be relieved of your burden. Whatever haunts you, God Himself forgives for the sake of that Son whom He sent on Christmas Eve. Whatever anxieties disturb you, be relieved of them all by the great God Himself who loves you with an everlasting love that will never leave you or forsake you. Too many people today don't know how to receive gifts. They concentrate on the gift and wonder whether they should take it. They think about the obligations they will have when they receive that gift. That's not the way to receive gifts, sincerely given by God or by anyone else. Look beyond the gift to the giver. The gift really means something because it represents the heart of a giver. When he says yes, don't you say no. People who've been relieved help to relieve others. It's the spirit of Christmas Eve. Think for a moment of the people around you, your family and your friends. Maybe lonely people who are discouraged or suffering or experiencing problems. Is there a gift that you can give them at this time of the year to make this Christmas Eve a memorable one for them? It's the way of God's people to show tenderness and understanding. On Christmas Eve, kisses and hugs are meant to abound. A gift is not merely a meaningless gesture. It establishes a relationship between the giver and the one who receives. On Christmas Eve, before they were married, my father gave my mother a bracelet. She treasured it and guarded it for more than 92 years. That meaningful gift established a relationship which never ended. It is when their engagement began. Christmas is your engagement with God. Martin Luther was a great student of the Bible. He prayed earnestly about what he studied in the Bible. He said there are three wonders connected with the story of Christmas Eve. First, there is the miracle that God took upon himself our humanity. Second, it is a miracle that a virgin bore a baby. The third miracle of Christmas, he said, was that Mary the Virgin believed that she would have a child. The greatest of these three miracles, Luther said, was the third one. The miracle is as great as the mystery of it all, believing that Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. It's a personal miracle, as great as the personal mystery of Christmas Eve, that Jesus is the Son of God and your Savior too. Believe, my friend, and receive the Christmas gift God has for you. Receive the gift and be relieved of the burden of unbelief. It's an extravagant way to live, I know. Just to believe and to receive and to be relieved. There's nothing wrong with extravagance motivated by love. God himself believes in extravagance. You can be extravagant with him and with your loved ones because you love him and you love them. You can learn from him how to love and how to live, and that's extravagant. The mystery and the miracle of the first Christmas Eve have made for you and will make for you many more Eves of Christmas. There comes to you, even now, the message of joy, good news, which is for every people. There's been born just for you in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The sign is for you. You will find the baby wrapped in those little cloths and lying in that humble manger, all for you. Amen.